This is a program about going deeper. It is about creating a culture of learning. It's about putting apostolic feet to prophetic hope. It is our mission to purposefully equip the world to transform their region with God's love. We want to create an atmosphere of divine influence to the nations by walking in the power of His Holy Spirit with a faith that shapes the future. Welcome to Eagle Mountain Radio.
All right. Hey, welcome to Eagle Mountain Radio. My name is Chris Banky, and I'll be your host today. I've got with us here in our studio in Bend, Oregon, Scott Flora. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing super good. Super good. I always love doing these, you know, Monday morning podcast broadcasts because you're like, I got everything prepared. And then the last minute, you're like, oh, no, I don't have everything prepared.
And it doesn't add anything to have a big conference weekend.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it was a normal day.
That's okay, though. But I think we got everything working. And I'm super excited about this episode because we have some a killer lineup of people that are actually all on with us right now. We've got Billy Humphrey. We've got Alan Hood. I think Corey Russell might be joining us. David yes. Bradshaw, Ty Lamb. This is going to be fantastic. This is going to be absolutely fantastic. So, hey, how are all you guys doing?
Doing super.
Awesome.
Yep. Glad to be here.
Awesome.
Same.
Good. Good. Yeah. So, hopefully Corey will join us. He's coming in. And if he does, we'll just pop him in too. And we can welcome him when we get here. But in the pre-show, we were talking about moments that lead to movements. And I just feel like right now there could not be a more appropriate time to talk about that. So many things happening in the world, so many things. So I think the best way to start off maybe is if, David, if you would kind of give us an overview and just kind of catch everyone up to everything that's going on with regards to what we're talking about here.
Yeah, well, it's my joy to be with you guys. Thank you guys for hosting this. We have been in maybe the past 3-4 weeks, just a very special and unique sense of the Lord moving in our midst. And so, you know, I think to tie it into the big picture, you know, we've just come out of this global pandemic, or we're coming out of this global pandemic, the just political crisis. And I think everybody's asking the question, how do we respond and what is the Lord saying right now? And there's just a lot of swirl out there right now about how to handle this moment. Where is God? What is He saying? I think we're all asking that question, and actually we're not even professing to have all those answers. But I do think in 1 Corinthians 1, it says, God says, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise. You know, there's like this controversy God has with our ways and our pride. And I think we're in that kind of a moment right now. The Lord is seated on His throne. The Jesus movement is not canceled from our nation to the nations of the earth. Jesus is moving forward powerfully right now. And so a couple of weeks ago, we were in our prayer room. I'm here outside of Virginia. I'm outside of Washington, D.C. in Fredericksburg, Virginia. Alan Hood is also here with us. And we were in a regular, I say regular, just a normal 10 o'clock in the morning or early first thing in the morning prayer meeting on a Friday. We end the prayer meeting about 10 o'clock. And I'm just sensing the power of God in the room. And I said, guys, the Lord is with us in this prayer meeting. And so we just kept leaning in to the place of prayer for a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit and for the Lord to release messengers to cleanse the lips of the prophets, the voices, the messengers. And for the sake of the next generation, release the word of the Lord. And we're also praying for our movement conference coming up in the midst of that. And as we're praying, the power of God hits our prayer meeting. It was like travail hit us. And I was all over in the corner of the room. At that point, I couldn't even track with what was happening with everyone else in the room. It was only maybe 20 people in the room or so. It wasn't a big prayer meeting on Friday morning. But it hits the whole room. And we're just in this moment. I haven't seen the power of God hit a prayer meeting like that in quite some time. And it just hit us. And so we're contending for messengers and for an outpouring for the sake of the next generation and God cleansing the lips of the prophets. And so we end up, this friend of mine, Benjamin Atkinson, walks in right at that moment from Raleigh. He didn't know what was going on. He brings his whole team in the room. We end up in this convergence together where actually powerful encounters with God begin to happen around this little circle of leaders. And it was like we were in this this divine storyline where we found ourselves all converging together. And it was like the Lord was saying, it really is time to step into a new phase of a harvest of a billion souls around the earth. We've often used the phrase, the billion soul harvest. And I believe the Lord was saying, I'm accelerating that right now. And I'm accelerating it, but I'm going to do it in a way that's different than the way you would do it. And one of the things he's going to do it through, he's going to release is weeping and travail in prayer and humility and brokenness, and also prophetic worship that changes the atmosphere in cities. And we sensed that God was releasing that and stirring that. So fast forward a couple of days, I'm on the call, Billy, with you, Billy Humphrey. And it was a pre-scheduled call for a handful of leaders. And I just shared out of this experience that we had just had, where the power of God hit our prayer meeting. We're contending for an outpouring and for messengers and cleansing of the lips of the prophets and messengers. And Billy and I realized in that call that he was sitting in Atlanta, and I won't try to take his elements of this story, but at the exact same minute, apparently even down to the minute, seems like it was right at the same time, 10 o'clock a.m., a little after 10 o'clock a.m. on that Friday morning, God hits him in Atlanta in the same way. The power of God comes on him, and he runs into his office, and I'll let you share that, Billy, if you want to share your side of the story. But we were struck by, my goodness, the same time, two different places, the same thing, even the same prayer focus. And so we felt we were in a divine, God's converging our stories together. The Holy Spirit's doing something. And then my friend texts me a couple of days later, or actually within 24 hours. And she says, hey, I have this dream. And in the dream, I saw this massive tent. We have this 3,000 person tent. We've never used it. God gave it to us. We're going to set it up in April here outside of DC. She goes, I see this tent. It was going city to city. But instead of the focus being on personalities or even speakers, God began to release a travail and a prophetic worship that was giving birth to his purposes. So I felt this series of events. So we did a call a couple, maybe a week or so ago with some of the folks on this call, and just got around a table and realized the Holy Spirit is really up to something right now. And we just want to say yes to him. So that's a little bit of the backstory for this call.
Man, that is fantastic. Awesome. That is really cool. We got Corey on. Corey, how's it going?
What's up, guys?
Good. Glad you could join us. I know you only have a little bit of time, so I'd like to actually go to you first, even though you didn't get the setup. But I'd love to just hear you kind of play off the kind of foundation that David laid out for us. You know, as we talk about being in the moments that lead to movements, you know, what comes to mind? What do the people need to hear?
Well, I will have to run, but I'm really excited to hear Billy share some of his backdrop as well. I mean, this is something that specifically me and Alan have been tracking together on for the last 10 years, right? We found ourselves in 2011 at a conference in Fredericksburg, Virginia. And I'm not gonna go through all the details, but it really began, the prophetic word was us, is that we were gonna enter into a time of weeping. The Psalm 126 verse really became highlighted to us to where it's about the, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. And then it says later on, it says, those who sow in tears will reap in joy. And how the Lord was going to release a great harvest, but that the way to the harvest, that the Lord is going to do great things, release the captivity, release the breakthrough we're longing for, is directly connected to a season of weeping. And a deep move of contrition and humility and brokenness and dependence on God. And it's not going to be about human personalities or human ingenuity to bring about anything, but that it's going to be about brokenness. That's going to sow tears for the next season. And that the seeds that are going to be sown in this season are going to be weeping. Those who sow in tears, he who continually goes forth weeping will doubtless come again rejoicing, carrying his sheaves with him. And so that journey began for me and Alan in 2011. And that the last decade has been marked primarily by deep weeping, deep contrition, mm-hmm. of brokenness and personal storylines, as well as feeling. And I knew, we knew the Lord was connecting our personal storylines to something that he's doing nationally and globally. And, mm-hmm. and a lot of the friends that we had run into, that the Lord was joining many friends into the same journey. And I think many streams into this corporate thrust of weeping and travail. And so that's what has been the storyline, but I felt the shift of recent. Recently writ the book called Gift of Tears, but I'm feeling a transition from just the season of that. And I feel like we're moving into a season of the apprehension and of the harvest, and the things that we've been believing for. And so that's what's kind of poised me. This has been a, you know, a 20-year journey, but specifically a 10-year journey. But we're in transition right now. We had a move of God at Upper Room probably about a month ago in the same flow with Billy and with David and Alan, and that the Lord hit Upper Room on 2/21. Wow. And we haven't been the same. The Lord thrust three mandates on our house: Israel, women, and the nations. And wow. And I believe that there's just a convergence of travail, of tears, and of tongues that's moving us past nice rhetoric and articulate praying into wow. revival praying. He's working a depth of brokenness in us that's going to release prayer on the other side of words. And so that's what's happening with all of our friends. And I believe that we're moving towards a movement for a great travail to bring about something significant in the earth.
Man, that is awesome. I feel like this is coming across. It's not just what you're talking about. This is coming everywhere. Like, we're hearing this everywhere. But I'd love to hear from Billy. So you referenced that Billy was at the same time they had kind of a similar experience. Billy, can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. You know, the thing that I want to emphasize is that I feel like we're in a holy moment. This is an apprehension of heaven. It's not a moment of hype or something, you know, that's a marketing plan. This is something where God he's gripping many, many people at the same time. And so we're experiencing this whoever we connect with right now. There's a synergy happening in the place of intercession and travail. But that I'd asked the day before. Corey sent me his book. It was pre-published, the PDF. He's like, hey, check this out. Just give me any thoughts. And so Corey and I are boys, and so he was just sending it to me early. And so I was reading through his book, and then I remembered that earlier that day a friend had sent me a dream. And in the dream, we were in D.C., and there was a massive gathering, and the ground was wet as if it had been raining all night. And except for the difference was it wasn't rain, it was tears. And so that was, you know, notable to me as I'm reading Corey's book. I remembered the dream. I read the dream, and the dream's about tears covering all the grounds, the mall in D.C. And so I sent the dream to one of our prophetic leaders here and just said, hey, if you get anything on this, let me know. So he sends it back to me the next morning. And he says, this is what the dream means. In the place of stillness and prayer, God is going to grant governmental authority in intercession unto a breakthrough of revival. In the place of stillness and prayer, God's releasing governmental authority in intercession unto a massive breakthrough of revival. When I read that interpretation, it goes right through me, and I begin to travail and wail. I mean, within a moment, I go from like nothing, like I wasn't feeling anything, to I'm wailing with just within moments. And it lasts for about 35 to 40 minutes. And I'm literally screaming at the top of my lungs in travail for breakthrough for our nation. Well, it's a week later. And David and I have that shocking moment where we're literally on the same day experiencing the exact same thing. And then it's 4 days later, and I want to bring this dream up, that one of our leaders, the guy that leads our mission school, he has a dream. And in the dream is me, our mission school leader, and our prayer room leader, all us three. And we're in a parking lot, and it's a constant rain. And then there's these downpours, and then it'll go back to constant and then downpours. And the guy that's our missions leader, mission school leader, he says, the Lord speaks in the dream, and he says, this is Corey Russell's rain. This is Russell's rain.
Wow.
Which I instantly know is the gift here, but it is covering and it is hitting hard. And then it was constant hitting hard. And then it's constant. The dream shifts. I'm in the front of our prayer room. I yell to the guy that's leading the prayer room. That's our prayer room director. I said, because on the platform, in the dream, on the platform, the worship leader goes into travail, weeping and wailing. And I yell to the guy that's director of their prayer room. I said, hey, man, we've got to figure out what to do with this. And I feel like that is a word for the prayer movement right now, that travail is about to invade the prayer rooms. Travail is about to invade our worship spaces. And that there has got to be a place where we make room for God to release his emotions through us, to release his burdens through us, that the polish is coming off right now, guys. I'm telling you that the next wave is not going to be who can get the hottest number one song on Spotify. The next wave is who is going to break in with heaven's emotions and heaven's words to see something shatter in the heavenlies. Yeah. And to see the earth deluge with the kingdom. And right now, I have such a sense in my heart, we don't have time anymore to try to be popular. This is not about popularity. This is not about ministry sphere. This is about God manifesting himself through us in glory and in fire and in wailing and travail to see a breakthrough of revival.
Wow, man, that is incredible. I mean, I think what I'm hearing from all of you guys is about timing, and how like things are kind of seem to be converging. And I think it's appropriate that this, conference coming up is called Movement. It actually really, reminds me of this story, Scott, I'd like you to share from the Rise conference that we had this weekend.
Yeah.
You had a thing that has to do with timing that happened. Can you share that?
Yeah. So, we did a conference, a big conference this weekend, had about 300 people here, about 5,000 people online, and people from all over the nation were coming and converging to what is God doing in the earth and how do I, and so this guy I'd never met before. He just walked right up to me and he handed me a box, and he said, God told me to give this to you, and he says, now is the time. And I'm holding a Bulova watch box, and inside of it is a brand new $800, very expensive watch.
Yeah, come on.
And he says, the Lord says, now is the time. And I just felt like that was marking my heart for the season that we're in right now in the global prayer movement, that we've been laboring and we've been doing things for a long time, fasting and praying and believing and contending. And the Lord is like marking our moment and saying, now is the time.
Come on, man. I feel like, you've got that. This stuff is happening at the same time. We're hearing reports of this kind of thing happening where people are being prompted by Holy Spirit that now's the time to take movement. I'd love to hear from Ty and Alan with regards to timing. Like, what are you guys hearing with regards to the timing of everything kind of coming to a convergence?
Go ahead, Ty.
Yeah. Thanks, Alan. You know, it's so interesting, you know, what Billy and David were just sharing a month ago. I mean, February 28th, I probably had one of the most holy moments of encounter I've had in my whole life. We were in Virginia Beach for Collegiate Day of Prayer. We were doing it at Regent University. And the last night we were there on the 28th, I took a friend onto the campus of Regent, where there's this globe and there's this fire in the middle of this globe, and it's been going for decades. And so we go there and just wanted to show them this place, and we're praying over the nations. We walk up to the CBN building, and all of a sudden, you know, at 10 o'clock at night, the Lord just hits us with massive travail, and we're on the floor weeping for the next 6 hours. And I mean, we go from just the place of just weeping over our kids and the next generation and college campuses, and then praying for the nations. And there's this plaque on the wall at the CBN building. It's Matthew 24:14. And it's it's that the gospel would preach to every nation. We're just weeping over the gospel. And we just felt in the moment something was being birthed in us. I mean, we made puddles of snot on the ground, and we were just, you know, in deep travail and then in laughter. And even at 4 a.m., I mean, we only got up because we had a flight, you know, at 6 a.m. to catch. But like, I mean, I don't think I've had an encounter like that, you know, in 20 years of being a Christian. But similar to Billy and David, and Corey's story from 2011. I mean, that moment was so significant for me because I felt like the Lord was birthing something in me, and I haven't felt the same since. I feel like the Lord was really just almost changing course. It's almost like a chapter of a page being turned. And I feel like I'm just carrying something so fresh right now for campuses, for the next generation. And I don't even fully have, I mean, this is really the first time I'm talking about this moment, but like, I don't know if I even have words to fully describe what the Lord did in me, but it truly was a moment that birthed something.
Yeah, that is fantastic. I mean, all right, Alan, what have you got?
Yeah, I may not have anything, actually. I feel like the Holy Spirit is resting on Billy and Corey in a very profound way. You know, as far as timing, Hosea 10:12 says it all. It says, if you want revival, you break up your fallow ground. Why? For it's time to seek the Lord and until he rains down righteousness upon us. And so I feel like, yes, it's time to seek the Lord, but it's time because we need to repent. And I'm here a year later after God shut down the entire globe through a pandemic. And I'm not sure we repented a year later. I'm glad there's travail. Because I think we need travail for the saving of our own souls. I think right now the church is in the balance. I don't think this is just about the lost world. I think the church is in the balance. I think the last year has exposed us. You know, a pandemic comes. I don't think we call prayer meetings for souls to be saved and for the church to go into the sickness and bring the gospel. I think we made it about a fight for whether our rights to wear the mask or not wear the mask or to have the meeting. I have the meeting. Racial tension comes. We aren't broken. We don't travail over the black plight and the plight of women on the earth and different things. Instead, it's about our rights and who did what and this. And then the politics, we had more 40-day fast for who's going to win the American presidency than anything that I've ever seen in my entire lifetime. I've never seen fast called for the lost and the broken and the hurting, and for the gospel to go forth and for the church to be filled with the Holy Spirit and power. And I'm sitting here a year later in March after the pandemic really hit us. And I'm going, you know, I want to say it's time to seek the Lord, but I'm not sure we've done the first thing. I'm not sure we've broken up the fallow ground. I'm not sure the church is really hearing God. And when I was with David 3 weeks ago, when that spirit of travail hit, it was the realization that God needs to purify our speech. We need to mark the next generation with more than what we've been proclaiming in 2020. We need more than what we proclaimed last year for the next generation. If what we proclaimed last year is what we got, I don't think we have anything for the next generation, to be honest, or we got very little. And so I agree with Billy when he says, it's not time for hype. It's not time for a conference. If God doesn't come at Movement 2021 and mark the next generation with a serious spirit of prophecy to have more than what we gave them last year, I don't have much confidence. In 1997, a man on fire stood up named Mike Bickle and announce, is there going to be anybody who's a voice and not an echo? Mm-hmm. And talked about John the Baptist. And in that 1997 gathering, I was cut to the core. I was rent. I repented of my shallowness. And I ran to the front, and out of that birthed a global prayer movement that brought forth the last 20 years of prayer. Mm-hmm. We need a moment like that. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anybody has the word. We need a moment where the word comes in, like, just marks an 18-year-old and warns them. Yeah. So I don't know about the time. I don't think we've done the first one. I'm just hoping the travail comes that we can actually repent. So it can be time to seek the Lord until he rains down righteousness.
Yeah, come on.
I know that sounds like the big killjoy, but when Billy opened his mouth and Corey and I, the fear of the Lord came in my room. I don't even know what to do. I'm trembling in my spirit right now that I'm going to be judged at the judgment seat for our content and this very thing. And it's going to be judged on our content for Movement 2021. So, Billy, I don't know. I just feel the fear of the Lord, guys. I don't know if y'all feel it, but I'm trembling.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's an appropriate response for, you know, everything that's happening right now. I know Corey's got to run in just a minute. I'd love to have Corey. I'd love to have you respond a little bit on kind of what Alan's saying and what's been said so far, so that you can, you know, be released to go do your next thing. But Corey, what are your thoughts on this?
Yes. Amen. We're getting past words, and we need travail just so we can feel again. We need help. We need God to get where we can get, to even get where God wants us. I'm just running out of words. I'm running out of superlatives and emphases. And I think he's bringing us to this, and I feel like he's helping us. I am encouraged. I would say that thing that happened to us a month ago was one of the, and I would, like Ty was saying, I would say it's probably the most impactful and significant meeting that I've been in my lifetime, as far as something shifting, it's touching home. I mean, you know, things out of that meeting, and even in my own family, I have family members that are not the same after that moment, after years of wondering. And so we're in a new season, and I'm just praying that this convergence at Movement 2021, well, this, I just feel like we're to get there and just to seek the Lord together, wait on him. We need the wailing women. We need women to birth us into where we're just in that moment. And so just glad to be here. And I just want to respond with all I know and ask his help to get us there. But I'm encouraged that he's going to do it.
Come on. Come on. Yeah. Thanks, Corey. Yeah. I'd love to, I think a lot of people listen to something like this and then they're not really sure exactly on a personal level how to respond. They're like, okay, I hear these guys and they've got kind of things figured out and they understand, you know, what God's asking them to do. But I'd love to go practical for just a minute and talk about, so the average person that's listening to this broadcast on Facebook or however, what do you say to them as they're listening to this and they're going, you know what, that's right. That is right. Now, what's my role in that? What would you guys say to them? Just an open question to whoever wants to grab that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not very practical. It's cry out with everything you have to cry. You know, it's simply, I mean, that cry out to cry. Yeah. And we don't know even how to blush anymore. I think I was feeling that phrase of Jeremiah about they don't even know how to blush anymore. I feel like we need to ask God to help bring us into contact with how far we've fallen, because left to our own devices, we're left. We're in trouble. We need God to get us where we got to get him. We need to cry out for him to help us get there. And so that's the most practical thing we can do is that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Billy, I feel like you've got something on this.
I had a young man give me a dream the other day, and in the dream he saw me standing at a door, and the door was like, it represented everything that we're believing for God to do in this time. And I was pushing on the door, and I could not get it to open. And it was one of those things where, and I think we've all done this, where you're pushing a door, but the door's a pull door. And he said, just in the dream, it was just this slight adjustment, just to pull instead of push. And I think the idea right now is we need to draw on Holy Spirit. The most practical thing we can do right now is draw on Holy Spirit, because he's the only one that can, he's the only one that can burst a travail that breaks things in the atmosphere, a travail that literally releases judgments against demon principalities, a travail that births souls into the kingdom. And the Holy Spirit has to be the one that is the escort for us. Mm-hmm. And I think we've hyped ourselves up. We've marketed ourselves. We've published ourselves. We've done everything we know to do. But right now, what we need has to be born of heaven. And it's a drawing on Holy Spirit in that place of a deep intimacy, that place of deep abiding, that place of deep quiet, even to where a cry comes out of us. It's not from earth. It's not from emotion. It's not from some contrived place. And so I can't resonate more with what Corey and Alan are saying right now. Like, ooh, we need God so bad. We need God so bad. And we don't have any clue of the depth of our need. And we prove that by just doing the same thing over and over and over. And I'm going like, Lord, please forgive us. Because we've operated in our own strength according to our own means. We've operated in the flesh, in our gifts. He just wants to shine through us. He wants to speak through us. He wants to travail through us. There is a wailing that Jesus cried in the days of his earthly ministry. He cried with loud cries and vehement tears, and he ever lives right now to make intercession at the right hand of the Father. He wants to intercede through his people until a breaking and into a birthing. And I'm telling you, he's shouting Isaiah 66 that he is not the one that brings to the time of birthing and then shuts the womb. He is the one that brings to the time of birthing and brings forth the promise. Yeah. But I just sense him saying, is there a man that will stand with me? Is there a man who will hold my hand? And I'm just saying, like, man, it's not going to be pretty right now, and it's not going to be on time, and it's not going to be something we can package. It's something like right now. You just got to say, okay, be it unto me according to your will, whatever you want. Whatever you want. Whatever you want.
Yeah.
Please, God.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's a birthing that God is doing right now in the spirit, and I've only seen two births, my own daughters, and there was lots of tears and there's lots of yells, and I love that, Jesus picture of Jesus birthing the spirit with these tears and vehement cries, and I had a dream two days ago where a man and a woman were both pregnant, and they'd been pregnant in a dream. I knew they'd been pregnant for 9 years, and they were asking God, when is the time of the arrival? And the Lord spoke in the dream and says, if the hunger in your heart would match the word being preached, it will cause the start of the birthing pains. And I really felt like that is the season that we're in. We're in the season to begin to actually go into a place of tears and travail to give birth to something. And I believe that the first place, like Alan was talking, is the first place is right here. Give me, oh God, I've seen you, but I do not know you. Purge my lips, take the coals from the altar, and give us purity of speech. Anyways,
Can I share, Scott and Chris, as we're talking right now, I'm gripped in my heart because you asked the question, what do we do as individuals? How do we respond in a moment like this? I had a dream recently where I was standing up in this conference, this big gathering. It's like a prophetic conference. There was people from everywhere. And I stood up and I opened up the Beatitudes and I started saying, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. And the whole room is looking at me like, why are you talking about that at our deal? And this man walks up to me and he says, a really well-known leader, he walks up to me and he goes, that's the right message. And I feel like for those that are watching and you're like, I know this is the Lord, I don't know how to respond. Listen, God's not calling you to be strong in your own strength. He's calling us to humble ourselves and go, we actually have nothing.
Sure.
I actually feel like we need to say, I can't do anything right now. Only God can do anything right now. And I feel like even as we gather, as we come together in these next few weeks, I just want you all to know we put the agenda on the table. We're saying, God, unless we have you, we have nothing, like nothing. Mm-hmm. And I felt that dream has been, we've started to teach on the Sermon on the Mount here again, because it's like the Lord, the church is struggled with God's ways. You know, 1 Corinthians, I mentioned at the beginning, 1 Corinthians 1, God says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. He's a controversy with our wisdom. Yeah. And I feel like this is a time for not figuring it all out necessarily. It's a time to humble ourselves, begin to cry out to God, begin to set aside times in our schedule to go, I'm going to clear my schedule out. I'm going to put my face on the ground and I'm going to cry out to God. I'm going to humble myself and acknowledge the poor in spirit possess nothing. They get in. The only ones that get in are the weak, not the strong. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we're in that place. I just want to submit that to you guys. I feel like our response needs to be to acknowledge and embrace our weakness and embrace the hunger for God and embrace the repentance and that godly mourning that Jesus said, these are the values of the kingdom. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. So God, release that on us.
Yeah.
Release it on the church in America and the nations, God. Yeah. Take us back to mourning and poverty of spirit and hunger and intercession. Again, take us out of our self-reliance, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Ty, I'd like to go to you for a minute and kind of get your thoughts as well. You know, this is a kind of a heaviness that we're feeling right now, but I feel like there's people that are watching this and they still, like David, you touched on it quite a bit, but they want to know, okay, what you're right. What's my role? And I'd love to just dig into that a little bit before we transition to talking about the movement conference.
Yeah,
just as we're sitting here, I just feel just the fear of the Lord in this moment, and I just feel trembling. And you know, if there's anything, I just feel like the Lord's highlighting. I just feel Joel 2, and just the invitation that yet even now declares the Lord, return to me with all of your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your garments. And I just so agree with what all the brothers are saying, and I just feel like right now, like the Lord desires not our religious activity, but he wants our heart. He wants us to weep and to mourn over our condition, just over the condition of the church. I just have this picture of just ones, individuals just climbing up onto the altar and saying, Father, here I am. I want to lay down upon the altar of sacrifice. Lord, would you have me? Father, would you have my life? Would you have my ambitions? Would you have my thoughts? Would you have my dreams? I just see just this picture of just one saying, Lord, I want to be the sacrifice. I want to be the offering, Lord. Would you come and set fire to me, God? Would you cause me to be the burning one, God? Would it be okay if you take me as the offering? I just feel like the Lord shouting Isaiah 61, that he wants to take our mourning and give us the oil of joy, that he wants to remove the heaviness and just clothe us with the garments of praise, that in exchange for just what feels like ashes, that he wants to give us beauty. And just even coming out of just this really just traumatic year, I feel like the Lord wants to redeem and just bring forth such redemption and beauty. But I think what he's after is our hearts and our ambitions and our allegiance and our focus and what's before our eyes and what we're giving our hearts to. I just think that in a moment, just in a suddenly moment, the Lord wants to proclaim liberty just over captives and open prison doors and bind up broken hearts and bring deliverance. But I just feel like what he's after is our hearts and our eyes and our focus. I just know that is so much more significant than what we can do in ministry and what we can do in conferences and what we're doing on Zoom and all the other efforts that we have, that he just wants us in the privacy of our homes, in the privacy of just the secret place, that we would say, Father, have me. I just yield to you. Have me in my weakness.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
You know, can I say one thing?
Yeah.
I think in times like these, the Lord just wants us to return to the basics. Return in our quiet times, return with our families, return with praying with our wives, return just with the simple things of the kingdom of the Sermon on the Mount, return to the simple things, the ancient paths, as Corey wrote the book and Jeremiah first termed the phrase, but return to those simplistic, small things of falling in love with the gospel again and sharing the gospel and being the church for real and not being profound, just returning to simple, classic Christianity, what it means to follow Jesus in his ways. That means for a lot of people this year has taken the wind out of them. They don't have prayer meetings anymore. They don't have those times of prayer. They don't reflect on what God's saying to them to prune, to cut out of their own lives. And I think there's a time of reflection and drawing on the Holy Spirit, really drawing upon him to return to those ancient paths of the word and praise and of prayer and of tearing our hearts, rending our hearts and not our garments. It's the simple things again. A lot of us need to return to, if we had a goal just to pray with our wives on a regular basis, or a revival in our own marriages, in our own homes, in our own ministries, I think we would be shocked if husbands just returned to praying with their wives again.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I just feel like there's, any of you guys have more on this? I just don't want to move on without really hearing what God wants to say. We said moments to movements. What in this moment, what is God saying right now? I just want to just give a little space to maybe Billy or David. What else is God saying right now?
I mean, I couldn't agree with Alan more. The simple things, returning to the first things for many of us. You know, yesterday we were talking in our community out of Matthew 6. Jesus said, when you pray and you fast and you give in secret, without an agenda, public recognition, or some kind of religious pride fueling it, he says, the Father who sees in secret will respond, will reward you. I think the door is wide open to access God right now. For you, for anyone watching, the door is wide open. But the Lord's asking us to come back to him, to return to him, to return to those simple things. So I couldn't agree with what Alan said more.
Yeah.
Billy,
I'll what are your thoughts? Yeah, I had a couple thoughts. Our friend Brian Kim has been saying for 2 years, the Lord's highlighted this phrase from Macbeth to him, full of sound and fury and amounting to nothing. And I think we have lots of words right now, and we become technicians of words, of terminology. And I think we need an actuality that surpasses anything that we've come to know. We need to do stuff like what Alan's saying, like let our yes be yes, just keeping our word, being faithful, you know, just walking out the simplistic truths of the kingdom of God, never letting deceit be in your mouth, being kind, like just loving people, being kind, gentle. You know, Paul said, in light of the end of the age, he said, the Lord is coming soon. Let your gentleness be made known to all men. Be gentle. Like these kind of things are the simple 101s of Christianity. And I think this is where God is calling his church right now, fasting, praying, living what we say we believe. But I think there's something else happening too. I think God's clearing the deck. I think he's literally sweeping the deck with so much of what we thought was actuality of Christianity. He's just saying, it's actually not me. I'm just getting rid of it. And we have a dear friend. I'll just go ahead and, I mean, everybody kind of knows it, but our dear friend, Jeremiah Johnson, I mean, the Lord literally told him to delete his entire ministry. I mean, he had 1 million online followers and the Lord told him to delete it. Now, not rebrand it, not give it a new flavor, a new thrust, and keep going with your 1 million followers. He goes, delete all of it and start over and build me an altar and do prayer meetings and seek my face. And he posted this, so I can share this, but he literally had people offering him money for the contacts. And I just feel like, man, we have gotten so far.
Wow.
From the stuff that really matters, and to think about how people prostitute the gospel, how they prostitute a platform, how they'll do anything in the flesh to gain human notoriety so that, you know, somebody will pay them extra money based on the number of, are you kidding me? Like, this is not the kingdom. And I feel like the Lord is just, he's just clearing the deck right now. And there is a great turnaround, a great sifting coming. He's going to purify the sons of Levi, that we would offer him an offering in righteousness. And man, I'll just say this. I'm not the guy that's pointing a finger at everybody else. I'm just saying, God, are my hands clean? Is my heart pure?
Yeah.
Is there stuff in my mouth that needs to not be in my mouth?
Mm-hmm.
And if I lifted up my own soul to idolatry, American idolatry, and the false gospel of American popularity, that is the most deceptive thing, that as soon as you get a little wind on you, as soon as you get a little spark in America, we want to make everybody with a tiny spark on them, we want to call that a bonfire. And it's revival if you got a little anointing. And it's so false. It's absolutely false. I'm not mad. I'm just so jealous. I want the real thing so badly that I'm just unwilling to settle for anything else but heaven, Jesus invading. And I don't care where it comes. Mm-hmm. I don't care whose house he invades. Yeah. Like, I just don't care. I'll be your usher. I'll carry your bag. If God breaks in on Thailand tomorrow, I will carry your bag, Thai, like for real. And I just think that, man, this time of posturing and American popularity and human platforms, it's just done. He's cleaning the deck. So I 100% agree. Fasting, weeping, mourning, walking out to simplicity, the values of the kingdom, and we should be watching because if he takes a guy that's got 1 million followers and says, delete your whole ministry, son. I mean, that is a sign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that what you guys are saying is a message that I think is often, you know, pushed away because it's so heavy. But I do feel like just globally, a lot of things, God is moving in a lot of different areas. And I kind of want to transition to the movement conference. So David, I kind of want to hand it back to you. So with the context of everything we've talked about on this episode here on this podcast and the heaviness of what, you know, Holy Spirit is doing, how does that relate to what is going to be happening and what we're trying to set the stage for to happen at the Movement Conference, which is coming right up really fast? Like, based on this, what we're saying, why would someone want to attend that conference? What can they expect? How are we laying the foundation pieces for what's going to happen there here?
Yeah, well, I do feel like Alan and I were talking the other day about, in some ways, we're sort of on this threshing floor together. I don't know if that's a good marketing. Actually, that's a horrible marketing for a gathering. But
yeah, it might be not the best marketing message. But if it's God's message, then it's going to work.
I do feel like, I mean, honestly, I feel like we also need to come together. I think, I believe there is a divine summons. You know, in that experience we had a couple of weeks ago, the thing that struck me was how Billy and I in two different cities at the same minute, and then we discover we had a scheduled, you know, Zoom call just days later and discovered we were in this narrative together. And the Lord sent Alan here to the DC region by surprise. And, it wasn't something he had been planning, you know, maybe previously, but the Lord orchestrated it. And then even the fact that my friend Benjamin with his team walks into the room when the power of God is hitting us in prayer, and we end up in this circle, and there was this sense almost of Jesus insisting that we're together, that we are, that we're linking arms. We are humbling ourselves and acknowledging not only our need for him, but also our desperate need for one another. Yes. That with the net for this billion soul harvest, because this is about the billion soul harvest. This is going somewhere. We're in Psalm 126. That weeping is going to be changed into joy. I mean, this is heavy, but this is also joyful. This is also an opportunity, an invitation, regardless of where you are. Maybe you feel like I'm not spiritual enough, but the Lord's just calling us to humble ourselves and acknowledge our need for him and also acknowledge our need for one another. So I really do believe that we need to come together, not just at Movement Conference, but way bigger than that, way bigger than that, in how we do our life and how we walk together. That there's an interconnectedness that Jesus wants to establish of all of us recognizing that no one can do this without one another. And the net is all of us converging. And so I do think, Ty pointed out, Joel, too, I do think there are sacred assemblies. There are moments where the Lord goes, hey, guys, I want you together right now. Yeah, I want you to be together and cry out to me.
Yeah.
And let your voices come together and then recognize your dependency on me and recognize your dependency on one another. And that's our heart's desire, I think. You know, Corey mentioned 2011 when Alan and Corey had this encounter. We were under this massive, that was the last time we were under a big 3,000 person tent, was that day in 2011. And this man, Bob Jones, was there, and he had this powerful word for Alan and Corey. He also pulled our team aside at the same time, the same day, the exact same day. And he told us, you're going to be part of a tent movement. The presence of God is going to go into your cities and your campuses. And he used these phrases like Holy Spirit Woodstock, where a whole new generation is invited into a place of fascination, love, and humility. Because this is about the next generation. This isn't about, hey, let's hype up a conference. You know, let's try to get the big name speakers. This is about, let's set our eyes, all eyes on Jesus. That's the deal.
Yeah.
You can be broken. You can have it not figured out. You know, this is not going to be about Upper Room or Wake in the Dawn or IHOP Atlanta or all the people that are converging under. It's really clear the slate, and let's actually get our eyes on Jesus for the sake of the next generation. Because I believe we got to declare the real Jesus to the next generation. Messengers do have to be released.
Yeah.
But it's going to be in this threshing floor, this place of encounter with God, this place of brokenness, this place, and also a place of joy in his presence.
Yeah.
As we're together with him. So I would say, for those that are interested in joining us, we want to invite you to come, but this is really going to be an opportunity to call on his name, to discover our dependency on him and on each other.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's going to happen fully. Right. I'll be honest with you guys.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just believe we have to be together. We've got to call on the name of the Lord. We've got to put our faces in the ground and surrender this moment to the Lord. And it's not about Movement 2021. It's not about Awaken the Dawn. It's not about anyone on this call. Yeah. Jesus is executing his plan on the earth right now. And he's looking for those whose hearts are fully given to him. And so I would say, come, if your heart's not fully given to him, come as a step of going, I'm going to give my heart to you.
Come on,
Not weeping yet. Come together and ask him for the tears, you know. But our heart's desire is to fully surrender to Jesus and also to link arms with our brothers and our sisters. We don't have women on this call, but I just got off the phone with Marcella Barcelona right before this call. She's down in Dallas with Upper Room with One Voice.
Yeah.
Who I love. And I asked her, she's going to, a whole bunch of her friends, these Jeremiah 9 wailing women are coming to be under the tent with us. And so we want to call on the name of the Lord. We want to set our eyes on Jesus. So that's what you should expect if you're going to come and may this be one step forward. Just take a step forward, draw near to God and he'll draw near to us.
Yeah, I think what you're talking about perfectly fits kind of the call that we have, you know, in partnership with you guys for the conference, because there is, I feel like, and based on what you guys are saying, Holy Spirit is moving all over the earth and people are coming together. Like, for example, the how you guys had the same experience at the same time during your prayer meetings, but that's happening all over the earth.
Yeah.
And there's something incredibly powerful. David, when you were talking about that, it resonates so much. There's something incredibly powerful when people come together. And I do believe, I mean, I guess we're going to find out, but I do believe something incredible is going to happen in Virginia when we all come together under the tent. But at the same time, you know, one of the things that I think is different and one of the things that I think is good about where we are in history is that we also have the opportunity to connect people from all over the world. We are doing this on purpose to create this connection so that people can come together in this way, exactly like you're talking about, David, through this online access. This is something that hasn't been done well before. It's not done as well as it should be in Christian circles. And we're really kind of putting a stake in the ground together and saying, coming together is so important. And there are people all over the world that are hearing the call and they want to come together and put their face in the dirt, like you say, but there's no way that they can come to Virginia and be under the tent. So we're creating this opportunity where we're going to be broadcasting this in a totally new way that's very interactive for the purpose of doing exactly what you guys are saying, exactly what Billy is laying out and David, you're laying out and just everybody on the call is talking about. We want to create an environment where you can experience that in your own home and actually join with us. So it's not about watching and being entertained as much as it is about actually coming together in partnership and joining with us, even if you're in China or you're in South America or Australia or whatever, wherever. We actually will have people coming from all over the world. So I just want to mention that, you know, because we're kind of out of time, but I just want to mention that this will be a little bit different. It's not going to be a camera at the back streamed. This is a way to really connect when physical connection isn't possible. So, David, I'd love to just and maybe if you would just kind of pray over everyone that's watching this broadcast. There'll be people that watch this broadcast, you know, over the coming weeks as well, time shifted. And we know that, you know, Holy Spirit has no bounds by time. So if you're not watching this live, it's not any less legitimate for you. So I just love it. Can you end us by praying over everyone that will see this or is on the call right now as we kind of are trying to prepare our hearts for what God is going to do in this movement conference?
Yeah, I'm happy to. What you said is really amazing, Chris. I just wanted to highlight it. There's this, what you've built, Chris and the Eagle Mountain team there, have built this interactive type experience so that those that can't be under the tent can still be part with more than just live streaming, but all kinds of chat rooms, all kinds of interactive, even personal ministry. So I just wanted to say thanks to you guys. I just think what you're building is phenomenal. I'm so grateful for you. And if for those that want to, you can go on the movementconference.com. You can register to either come in person or for what Chris and the team are building. I just think it's amazing to be
regardless. Yeah. Regardless, click on one of those links, either be there in person or be there online.
Yeah. But let's pray. Lord, we just surrender this to you. We thank you for what you're stirring in our midst. And God, we recognize we're desperate right now in America. We're desperate even on this call. And we pray that, God, that you would just take us in to what you're doing right now, to the place of brokenness and tears and sincerity, God, and dependency on you and on one another as well. God, we pray for a coming together that only you can orchestrate it. God, we just see you doing it right now. We acknowledge you are doing something in your wisdom in our midst, and your ways are not our ways. And so I surrender. I surrender these next few weeks to you. We surrender our ministries, our hearts, our family places, our mailing list, whatever it takes. God, I feel that glorious wrestle in our soul to go, God, what is it going to take? What does it look like? I pray, lead us through, Lord. Lead us through, Holy Spirit. God, we pray that for those that are watching, God, that you would touch their hearts and give them that gift of repentance, turning, of surrender to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for it.
Amen. You guys, thank you so much for your time, Billy and Ty and David and Corey and Alan. It's awesome to have you guys. You guys are busy to be able to spend a little bit of time with us. This is so important what we're doing here, what we're talking about. I think what God is doing is awesome. So thank you for your time. You guys need to register. Let's come together, as David was recommending. Let's come together either in person or digitally. Let's come together.
Take purposely. This moment.
Let's take this moment. And we'll be having a couple more of these in the coming weeks. So keep an eye out for those. But we just really appreciate all you guys. And we will see you guys on the next one. Thanks.
Thank you, guys.